Hey y'all, it's your girl Who Swirls, Chris Karazin from Beyond Black and White, and I'm sitting next to this big head dude right here. This is my brother. Say hi, Byron.
Hello. Hola.
You're from Atlanta, right? Can we just say safely that you now are from Atlanta? You're not a
Yes.
California boy anymore?
Yes. I am from Atlanta, but still, California is close to my heart. Still California.
So we grew up with both our parents, because people always ask me that, like, did you have both your parents? Do you hate your father? Is that why you married a white man? Didn't we have a great dad?
Oh yeah, we had a wonderful dad, a dad that provided for his family, was a godly example of a husband and father, a very outgoing Christian man, could, go anywhere and make friends with anyone, and just had just a jovial spirit about him. Just a great example of a man.
Now, we kind of grew up in a mixed neighborhood, right? So was
Right.
it a shock to you when you found out I was dating a white guy? Be honest.
Well, growing up in Lancaster, California, it was more of a melting pot anyway, where you had various races, white, black, Hispanic, Asian. So, I mean, it was something that we were used to, but I don't know if I was readily accepting at first with you dating your husband Mike, but it wasn't it
You
wasn't
never said anything. He never said anything. He was always really nice. He never said anything.
well, it's I guess that ideally, I think in my mind, I thought that you would be able to connect with a person of our race, and so it was interesting that you made that connection with Mike, but then finding out who he is as a person and what he represented and how he really had you in his eye and as a priority, as his focus, it wasn't that hard to eventually get with the program as it were.
Begrudgingly, okay, we'll take the
But
white boy.
yeah, well, I mean, once you get to know a person for who they are, the color thing is, it goes out of the window. So that's what happened.
Okay, so you're in Atlanta, and I've been out there a couple of times. And okay, there's an imbalance in terms of there seems to be a lot of women, available single, beautiful women in Atlanta who want to pair with men, and it's kind of like being in a candy store. Is it a little bit? When you were single, what was the Atlanta like? Could you just
Well,
be like you?
it definitely is a large disproportionate number of women to men in Atlanta. I mean, I think there was one time I remember it was like maybe 15 or 16 to 1. And so there are a lot of women out there, and in most cases, African American women, for example, they're wanting to hook up or make relationships with black men, and there's a shortage of men compared to the number of women, and so it does leave a situation where there's a serious imbalance.
Okay, and as a guy, you're married now. You're married to a beautiful black woman, Mary, my sister-in-law. Beautiful son, Braylon, my nephew. You guys have been married for what, 8 years?
10 years.
Oh my
Just cleared
God.
our 10 years.
Wow, 10 years, a
10 years.
decade. I've been married 13. I finally beat him at something. I'm married for 13. Beautiful, you met her, but what generally takes place when you have an imbalance where there's a lot of a commodity. We'll just call it commodity, even though we know we're talking about human beings. And that particular group wants something that's in higher demand and is more rare. What happens to the people who know that they're in demand? How do they treat the people who want them when everybody wants them?
Well, it tends to be, relationships tend to not be serious. I mean, they're, as a man, a single man, in that type of environment, you have, it's like you have all these women, a vast amount of
All the
women,
women's.
and
You got all the women's.
and there's pickings from left and right, and you're not really serious or not focused on developing a relationship with one particular one. You're, it's like a kid being in a candy store.
And so you could have Lakeisha on Monday, you could have Sulin on Tuesday, you could have Teresa on Wednesday, you could have, Ming Lee on Thursday. I mean, you could have a different woman every day of the week, whereas it puts the women in those situations at a disadvantage, right?
I mean, given the fact that the numbers are so disproportionate, there's very few quality men, African American men, if we're, looking at it from that perspective, to choose from. So there definitely is a disadvantage.
And what's worse is that you have women who will fight over these few men, right? Instead of, and so being that you're in the culture, when I going back to asking you, are you from Atlanta? Even though you were born here in California, you're from Atlanta because you've been there long enough.
Over 20 years.
Why do you suppose then that if there's this imbalance, there seems to be, am I misinterpreting? There seems to be a little bit resistance with black women interracially dating, and is there also seems to be a resistance for the acceptance in the community for black women to do this? Or am I just
I think that the tides are starting to turn in that regard, because I personally, I'm seeing more of the example of the interracial relationship. Matter of fact, when I was coming in to Atlanta, or coming into Los Angeles, I was getting ready to go through PSA at Atlanta Airport. There was an interracial couple that was right in front of me as we were in line. The guy was white, and the lady was black, and very loving. I mean, he walked with her up until to the point where he couldn't walk with her anymore, and gave her a kiss and a hug, and he was on his way, and then she went on through PSA. So you're seeing more of that example, or the trend is changing as it relates to interracial relationships, and I think it's a good thing.
Well, one thing that I will say about you, and I talk about this on the blog and on YouTube, is that we do have our allies. A lot of people think, oh, all black men are just, they hate seeing us with other black. But I think that men like my brother, who truly love black women, want to see them happy. And you just heard him tell the truth. Like, they'll tell you the truth. They want to see you happy. They may say, hey, I wanted you to be with a brother. My brother just said, he was kind of thinking that was going to be, my story and that was going to be my history. But he loves me and want to see me happy. And he doesn't want to see me, misused or abused. He wanted the best man for the job, right?
Correct. I mean, I feel like this is there are a large amount of men, quality men, of all races, and there definitely is opportunity for women to explore the possibilities of being with people of a different race. I mean, it gives you an opportunity to learn their culture, their likes and dislikes. But you find that people are people, no matter what color they are. And it, yeah, like the song.
We grew up in the 80s. Come on, do the snake.
But yeah, I mean, that's what you're finding. I mean, there's a lot to be learned through giving people of other races the opportunity by getting to know them. And, you know, you open up a wide spectrum of opportunity when you're not closed-minded.
So what advice would you give to a Black woman who's on the fence, who's maybe looking at this video? What would you say to her if she was a little bit afraid of taking that leap, if she was sitting in front of you right now?
I would say not to be afraid. I would say that you can limit your opportunity if you have basically tunnel vision. Not to say, I'm an advocate for Black men, meeting quality Black women and developing quality relationships. But if it's a situation where you're not finding that, then be open to the possibilities of finding love in another way, another race, another type.
And there you have it. You were granted permission you never even needed, girl. I love you.
I love you too.
Bye. If you guys want to reach out to me, you can email me at Crystalyn, CHRISTELYN, @beyondblackwhite.com. Bye.
We should all